Do you want a bra that's sexy or do you want a bra that's comfortable? Well, that was a trick question because I know you want a bra that's both. And now you can have that thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration and the ick and the ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. They put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. This means that comfort and support are guaranteed. And ladies, at Third Love, size doesn't matter. Whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups, which is pretty genius. So no more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15.
You know that's the sound of another sale on your online Shopify store. But did you know Shopify powers selling in person too? That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in-line and online. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/truecrime.
I say, because if I do die, I'm going to ask the Lord, let me haunt you.
We so often hear about those that don't make it out of danger alive. But what about those that do?
My body got warm and it just said, get up. You're not done, get up.
I'm Caitlin Van Maul, back with a brand new season of I Survived.
The more I begged him, the happier and the more excited he got.
Join me for new episodes of I Survived every Monday and subscribe now wherever you listen to podcasts.
I noticed that some of the letters didn't actually have stamps on them. She would actually put a sticker in the corner and then make little marks on it with a marker to kind of look like a stamp if you're not looking. Then I knew she was actually coming to my house.
I'm Jamie Beebe.
And I'm Jake Deptula. On today's episode of Strictly Stalking, we're speaking with Jerry, who was stalked by a woman he met during an acting class.
The two became casual friends during class, but soon the woman started texting him nonstop and showing up at all the events where his band was playing.
He decided to cut ties with her because she made him uncomfortable, but that made her more aggressive, impatient, and angry when he didn't respond to her texts.
After thousands of texts, calls, letters, and voicemails, Jerry quit going to the acting class and isolated himself to avoid her.
While Jerry barely knows his stalker, according to her texts, she believes they are in a relationship.
Jerry was able to get a temporary restraining order, but that hasn't stopped her from contacting him.
She has recently escalated her behavior by making an announcement on social media that he has been sexually abusing her and manipulating her, although he has gone no contact for years. Jerry, thank you for joining us today.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Was music a huge part of your life growing up?
Yes. My father was in a band and my grandmother was a singer. And I spent a lot of years touring as a musician until COVID, where, you know, I started taking a turn towards other things like acting.
What do you love the most about performing?
I love being around the creative energy and just finding all these other people that don't really have a routine lifestyle where they go to a 9-to-5. It's really fun to just have a creative outlet with friends and go on the road and just kind of explore in that way where you don't have a exact future for yourself.
What's your social life like? Do you have a lot of friends? Do you go out a lot?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm friends with a lot of people in bands. I like to go to a lot of different social events as far as the art community, music, movies, yeah, all sorts of stuff like that.
What made you decide to jump into acting?
Being in a band, you meet a lot of people who are musicians who also work in the movie industry. And it just kind of slowly manifested into that where someone would want a band in a movie or a TV show. And then you slowly get more and more parts from that. And you know, I would do all different sorts of things in movies, whether it's acting, script writing, wardrobe, casting.
How long ago did you decide to take your first acting class?
I started taking acting classes around 5 years ago.
What did you learn about yourself when you started taking these classes?
I think the biggest thing about acting is learning how to be yourself on screen is pretty much the best way to act. Just being comfortable being yourself without having to rely on a character and be realistic. I mean, especially for doing comedy, you want to be real instead of try to be funny all the time. That was a big lesson to me.
We know that you met your stalker in an acting class. What was your life like right before that, right before you met her?
Well, I had been in this acting class for 2 years, and it was just the most fun outlet for me because it was a class of about 30 people, and everybody in the class had a really good, positive attitude. We did projects outside of class with sketch writing and music, and we all hung out after class together. And it was interesting to find something like that where no one really had any sort of idea of making their life into something with it. It's just something we did for fun, and it just naturally started happening. I really enjoyed doing the acting class.
What was your first impression of this girl when you met her?
Well, the class had so many people in it that we would often communicate on a mass text. So she actually started writing to me before I even knew her. And I just assumed it was someone from the class because they had my number and they were saying, "Hi, how are things? What's going on in class?" And I wasn't in class for a couple of weeks. I was out of town for a tour. And I have this thing where when I meet people, I always try to be nice because I've been a new person in places before, and I'd like when people treat me like, you know, with warmth. So I think I did that.
How long were you guys texting until you went back to class and met her in person?
She didn't really text a lot immediately. It was just kind of, it's one of those things where when someone reaches out to you and you don't even know who they are, you're like, who is this? Is this someone I know? Generally, I ask, but for some reason, I just thought since it was, I don't know, I just assumed it was someone from the mass text. So I just answered these little questions because they were talking about the acting class too. So I figured it was from there. But when I started going back to class, yeah, it was frequently messages. But I also assumed that they were someone who, since they were new to the class, that they were doing that to everyone, which I think they were doing that to a lot of people. So it wasn't just me at first.
When you first met her in person, what was your impression of her?
She seemed nice enough, just extremely eager to meet people. Very, very talkative. And I try not to judge that because, you know, some people just are friendlier than others. Doesn't mean there's something wrong with them all the time.
Did you feel like she was singling you out to like sit by you or hang out with you extra from other people in class?
That started maybe 3 weeks into going to classes with her there. There definitely seemed to be a bit of her following me around when I try to talk to other people. Or a lot of times when I'd stay after class, I was talking to people about other projects. So I'd go to a different room and then all of a sudden she'd be there and I'd kind of whisper like, "Hey, let's go to another room," because we'd want to talk in private. It wasn't necessarily because she was creeping me out yet. It's just, you know, she was just kind of like a person that just really wanted to be the center of attention, I suppose.
At that time, was she seeking attention from other members of the class as well?
Yes. A friend of mine had warned me about her. She said that this new girl had been bothering some other people in the class. One of the guys, the stalker, claimed that they were dating at one point and that they hung out. And then the stalker claimed that this guy raped her. And everyone in the class believed it, as far as I knew. I mean, I didn't really talk to people about it, but the few people I knew who heard it from the stalker, you know, to make an accusation like that, it's hard to question someone. So I definitely felt myself being a little standoffish to this man who was accused of that, although I never really approached him about it, which maybe I should have, but I'm also not one to get involved in people's business. But as weeks went by, I would notice she'd be on stage with this guy who she accused of this, and I asked her one day, I said, how are you able to be on stage with him after what he did to you? She said, oh, I'm over that. I said, well, what exactly happened? I thought you said that he raped you. And she said, well, I went to his house and we both got really drunk and we fooled around. And then he was really rude to me after because I was so drunk and he asked me to leave. I said, that doesn't really make sense for your story. How is that, you know, rape? And she said, well, you would have had to be there. Trust me, he was a real asshole. So I, at that point, that was the first red flag that she was just kind of loosely throwing these accusations. She also said that the other acting class that she was in before she had gotten kicked out of because the teacher was molesting people. So there's definitely a history there of her feeling slighted by people and then her using that term basically as a way to get leverage on them or pay them back.
Why do you feel that she felt comfortable revealing these things to you?
You know, I don't think she felt necessarily more comfortable with me. It seemed like she just likes telling everyone these kinds of stories. I didn't necessarily feel that I was being contacted by her in this way where she was trying to specifically get to know me of all people. I really feel that of anybody who at least gave her time of day, she latched onto them pretty aggressively. And I know it was a few other people too. The difference with me and them is I live in town. And I think a lot of the other people in the class live in a different area. And also I'm really easily accessible because I play in a band and I do different acting gigs around town. If someone wants to find me, they could just follow me on social media or even just Google me. And they're going to be able to find out where I'm performing at and go to that show.
What did she start doing that made you even more uncomfortable?
The constant contacting. And it was all day. It's like she doesn't even work or have any time that she's not just sitting online or on her phone. And she would ask me to go to events around town. And a lot of these events I go to anyway, like, you know, open mic nights for comedians or certain bands. I had never seen her at any of these things my whole life of going to all these events. All of a sudden, she's going to all these events. And occasionally, if I was going there already, I'd say, oh, yeah, I'll probably be there. Maybe I'll see you. And sometimes I'd go and I'd see her. Other times I wouldn't go because I had something else to do or I was just going home. And sometimes when I didn't go, she would lash out. She'd say, hey, why didn't you show up? How dare you do that to me? I could have invited someone else. Next time you need to tell me if you're not coming. And after her doing that a couple times, I said, hey, you know, you don't have to invite me to all these events. If I'm going to go, I'll go. If not, you know, whatever. I'll see you there. I'll say hi in class, but I don't really need you contacting me all the time about this anymore. And she did not take that well. She said, I don't like the sound of that. If you want to be my friend, you're going to have to learn to treat me well.
After you told her that you didn't really want her contacting you anymore, did she stop?
That's why I'm here. No, it's never stopped. The final time I told her to completely leave me alone, I said, I don't ever want you talking to me again. I said, I don't want you ever talking to me again. I'm never going to answer your texts again. Just please stop writing to me. I have no interest in being your friend.
Strictly Stalking is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Hey everyone, there's so many types of podcasts to listen to. True crime, comedy, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers. And what's cool is that you get to call the shots on what you listen to.
And guess what else you can call the shots on? That's right, your auto insurance. By using the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
The Name Your Price tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds.
You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, then they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options.
It's so easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you. And best of all, it's super fast. No waiting around.
It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. So get your quote today at progressive.com to try the Name Your Price tool for yourself.
That's right. Go to progressive.com and join the over 27 million drivers who trust Progressive.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, listeners, it's Jamie, your favorite Strictly Stalking host.
Whoa. Hold on. I thought I was their favorite host.
Okay, yeah, Jake, you probably are the favorite host, but I want to get our listeners excited about something I've been working on in my spare time. I've designed and launched my own bikini company.
Wow, that's really cool.
Thank you. If you follow me on Instagram at FeatherGirl77, you might know a little bit about me. But if not, here's the short version. I'm 45 years old, single, have a golden retriever named Cabo who is the love of my life, and I spend a lot of time traveling to tropical locations and lounging around in bikinis.
Yeah, you know, that pretty much does sum up your life outside of Strictly Stalking.
So I took all my favorite parts of different bikinis and designed one that's perfect for every occasion. Then I went to Bali and had them ethically produced with the best materials, and now I'm launching the Boyfriend Bikini.
I do like the part about the bikinis being ethically produced, but why call it the Boyfriend Bikini?
Well, you know that saying about how girls level up after a horrible relationship ends and travel more, get hotter, make more money, start a new business, fall in love with someone way better?
I have definitely heard variations of that.
So that's exactly what I did when my last relationship ended. I worked on myself, found peace, happiness, and started living my best life. I traveled solo around the world, dated lots of amazing and some not so amazing men, and worked hard to make a positive difference in other people's lives.
You know, I've really noticed your glow up in the past few years.
So the Boyfriend Bikini is about taking back your life, personal growth, finding inner peace, and being a total girl boss. I've named each bikini after a type of man I know, good and bad, because each one has helped me grow in one way or another.
That's really cool. So which one is named after me?
Haha, the Mr. Nice Guy is officially the Jake Teptula Bikini.
Well, of course it is. But let's tell them the best part about the Boyfriend Bikini.
Well, because we're advocates against domestic violence, and it's something I've personally dealt with, a portion of all sales will go to the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence.
I love this. Where can our listeners find the Boyfriend Bikini?
You can go to theboyfriendbikini.com and use code STALKING to get 10% off your first bikini. You can also follow on Instagram at theboyfriendbikini.
So live your best life now and go to theboyfriendbikini.com code STALKING to get 10% off your first bikini.
Once you finally went no contact with her, kind of give us a timeline of what she did and how she started escalating.
Once I told her to leave me alone and I never responded ever again, she started basically adding all my friends on social media and slowly contacting them. So it took a month or so before I realized it. But what happened was she'd befriend them and not really mention me at first. So just kind of like she did to me, she started writing to me out of nowhere. I'm like, who's this person? Okay, they're harmless enough. I'll be nice. And my friends are the same way. But after a month or so, they start telling me about this. They say, hey, who's this girl that's writing to me? She mentioned that you're in a relationship with her. So it put me in a weird spot because I didn't realize what was going on at the time. So I didn't really tell anyone. I also am afraid of starting gossip. Obviously, this woman has said about a lot of people that they're all molesting her, and I just didn't want anything to do with that. So I just kept it to myself. But once my friends started telling me that she's contacting them too, I had to tell them, like, this girl won't leave me alone. And before I even explain, here, just read my texts with her. And they've read them. And this was about 20 different people. I mean, this is a lot of people, like everybody in my band, these people in other bands, some people that don't even live in the same state as me. She's just contacting just all these strange contacts that I don't even know well. So I just let him read the text, and I can't even say that I was gossiping or slandering. All I did was let him read this text, and they said, wow, she said something completely different than what I'm seeing in this text. She was telling them that I was obsessed with her and that I wouldn't leave her alone. I kept writing to her. And they said, I see here, you stop writing to her and she keeps writing to you daily. I said, yeah, well, that's what's going on. Now you know. And most of these people blocked her. A few of them were afraid to, so they kind of slowly let it fade, but she kept writing to them, and then they had a blocker. Each time a person would block her, she'd figure it out. She'd understand he must have said something and given me away. And she'd lash out. She'd call me screaming. I never answered, but I'd get messages. So I'd block the number. She'd make a new number, leave all these drunk messages, crying. How could you do this to me? I thought we're together. She continued showing up at every one of my shows for every different event I do. Some of these were more private parties. I don't even know how she found out about them, but I guess it's not that hard. And I started leaving my own shows early. I'd get on stage, do my show, and then I'd leave. Because at the show, she'd stand either right in front of the stage and stare at me, sometimes taking photos, or she'd stand right in the back after the show where you have to leave. So you couldn't get out without walking by her. So I would just leave and let her do her thing. And then she'd sometimes text me, "You had a great show. I'll be hanging around if you want to hang out."
What else was she doing that was affecting your band within the music industry?
A lot of stuff. She was trying to be positive, even. She would, all of a sudden she started a band. I had no idea she even was a musician. I've never heard her music, but all of a sudden she has a band. And then she's trying to play the same clubs that I play. And, you know, that's a perfect way to basically get in the same circle. And a lot of times trying to get on shows that my band was on and, you know, hit up other bands that are mutual friends. One thing she would do was buy tickets ahead of time to almost every show. Like literally the day tickets went on sale, because I could see the pre-sale list. Just so you check, like you kind of gauge how many people are going to be there by the pre-sale list. If you sell 50 tickets the first day, it's probably going to be a sellout show. And her name would always be on there. And, you know, I would think that someone stalking in this way would be embarrassed to show their name. But the weird thing is she'd come to these shows and sometimes she would come with another person. So she'd be going somewhere that she knows she's not wanted, because I clearly told her, leave me alone. I do not want to be friends with you. I stopped going to my improv class. I literally had to quit because every time I'd go there, she would just follow me around and then harass me after the class. So I quit, and it was really sad because I enjoyed that. And then my band life, I had to leave all my shows early. So I stopped doing a lot of the stuff I used to love to do because this person is so relentless, just going everywhere I go.
When did your bandmates first discover what she was doing to you?
The first time was when one of the guys in the band said, "Hey, who's this girl? Do you know her? She keeps writing to me every day. She wants to hang out. She asked me to go hang out with her." And he said she didn't mention me yet, but they had only been talking for a few weeks, maybe. She usually would kind of get people's trust a little bit and then start name dropping me and saying that I'm obsessed over her and stuff like that. So I basically showed him the text. I'm like, "Here, read these texts. It's someone that I've been avoiding for months now. I quit going to improv." They're like, "Oh, wow, I had no idea." So, yeah. And then this guy blocked her, and then she'd keep showing up at shows. And she would say to other people that she's friends with these other people. So if it's someone who knew that I was blocking her, she's like, "Oh, I'm not going for him. I'm going for this other guy who's in his band." But then the guys in my band would be like, "Hey, I'm not your friend." So then eventually she ran out of excuses of why to come to my shows, but she just kept coming anyway. So at one point, I mean, this was years later, she's been to over 100 events I've done. We had a blocker from the club because she started slandering friends of mine, saying that she was claiming some guy in my band was a sex offender. So this is the third person she said a sex offender. And she said, she wrote to me first saying, "Hey, didn't you know that guy in your band's a sex offender? If you continue having him in your band, I'm going to let everyone know that you're supporting a sex offender." And of course I didn't respond, but this guy wasn't even really in the band. He was just helping out for a little while. So basically anything I did, she tried to find a way to nudge her way in there to try to get some sort of reaction out of me. And it never worked. I will never respond to this person.
When all of this was happening, you consulted some professionals about what was going on and her stalking behaviors. What did you learn from that?
I learned from a few different friends of mine who are professional psychologists that they say that she has really obvious signs of erotomania, which is a syndrome, and it's usually found in women who are stalking, let's say, like a celebrity or someone they think of as higher than them in some social status, and they think that this person is in love with them or sending them clues somehow in their work. So, you know, someone could watch a Brad Pitt movie and see him, you know, say some phrase and say, oh my God, he's talking to me, you know? So she started writing these letters to me and sending them to my house. Most of them I just threw away, but the few that I read would talk about events that her and I had done together, which never even happened. So she'd mention all these crazy illusions and acting as if we're in a relationship and that I've been responding to her all along, like, hey, how are you doing? I was just driving by your house today and I thought I'd drop off a letter. You know, I don't even know if you're reading these, but I really miss you. I hope we could hang out and get some tea soon. Anyways, I'm writing a new song. I'll send it to you in a week. So she has this ongoing friendship with the idea of me, but not actually me because she doesn't know me. So to her, the idea of even texting me and thinking that I might read it gives her some sort of, I don't know, like this idea of friendship. She must be very lonely. A lot of her texts would start off with, I know I'm probably texting the void and you don't even read this or I'm blocked, but I'm going to text anyways. And then it would be a 10-page paragraph about her day.
Were you concerned for your safety because she knew where you'd be? She knew where you lived?
Absolutely. I don't trust this person. I see her behavior is very erratic and spontaneous. But at the same time, you know, I can't completely stop going places. You know, I actually got another phone number and I kept my old phone that I just used for work. So all the texts on there are just hers and I use that as evidence. And it just shows thousands of calls on there. So whenever she does text, I generally don't read it anyway, but I'll look every month or so and just scroll through and it's like, wow, she's still going at it.
What was the final straw that made you decide to go to the police?
The final straw is when I noticed that some of the letters didn't actually have stamps on them. She would actually put a sticker in the corner and then make little marks on it with a marker to kind of look like a stamp if you're not looking. Then I knew she was actually coming to my house. She started putting flyers up on the electric pole outside of my building, stuff like that. So I knew that she was on my property and I got the restraining order. And to be honest, it never helped. She immediately texted and said, me and my boyfriend have been talking about this and we decided that there's no way you're going to keep me from going to your shows because I have other friends there.
How did the police react to you when you went and told them what was going on? And what was the process of getting a restraining order like?
So when I first got the restraining order, you know, during COVID, I had to do it all on the phone. I can't say it was the easiest thing. They didn't necessarily do anything but serve a paper. When she disobeyed that paper immediately, I called and said, what else could I do about this? I talked to a sheriff and the sheriff said, well, if they haven't actually physically threatened you, there's nothing you could really do because it's not illegal. Unless you have proof that she's somehow costing you money or threatening you, we can't really press charges. It's not going to do anything. Like all we could do is send her home if she's at one of your events, maybe if you have your paperwork on you. When I called some stalker support groups, a lot of them said, you know, in a situation, well, when I called some of the stalker support groups, a lot of them said, a lot of what we do is we help battered women, and you're a man. It's not really, you know, we're not really the place for you. Why don't you try calling this number? So I'd call another number and they'd say, well, we mostly help minorities. So I didn't quite know who to reach out to. I tried some other numbers, but they weren't in state. You know, I just find stuff online. They're like, oh, sorry, we're New York. We only help people in this region. So yeah, it really felt lonely trying to navigate through this. And I knew that the only thing I could do is stand up to this person. And, you know, who's gonna win? Like, there's no winning. What am I going to do? I'm just going to basically push her to the edge where she just tries to hurt me for pushing her away.
Do you think that the police took you seriously?
When I actually called the cops, it was right when she texted me, like, I don't care about this restraining order. I'm going to go where I want to. I'm going to go to your shows. And I don't know why she said she has a boyfriend, but that's funny that she has a boyfriend and then she's still stalking me and admitting it. I don't know if this guy knows. I don't know if she really has a boyfriend. Who cares? But a cop came by and he seemed very annoyed by me. There's also been moments where I've seen her places and had to go through the back door to avoid her. And when you say to someone, hey, I have to avoid that person, I have a restraining order against them, they immediately think the opposite. They think, oh, she has a restraining order against you, and they would treat me very rudely. So then you have to explain and then get into this whole, you know, conversation about that, which is never pleasant when you're just trying to go out and have a good time. But yeah, it never looks good when you're an older guy and there's a younger girl stalking you. You never look like the innocent one, unfortunately.
After she violated the restraining order, did you contact the police again?
When she wrote to me that she's going to violate it, that's when I contacted the police. So at some point, I just... So her texts go in different moods. So for 2 months, they'll be very friendly when I've read them. And like I'm saying, I don't check them often. But when I have read them, I'll check weeks at a time. And usually I'll just screenshot them and send them to a few people who deal with this sort of stalker thing. And they're kind of keeping track of the evidence for me. But it'll be just 2 months of texts that are like, hey, miss you. We should hang out again tomorrow. I was getting ice cream the other day and thought of you. Isn't your favorite flavor strawberry? It's just like all this weird made up stuff. But then she would shift based on maybe some paranoia she had of me talking about her. And then there'd be, how dare you slander me? I'm going to get back at you and I'm going to slander you too. You better watch what you say because I have a lot of friends in the movie business and the music business, and I'm going to get you, you know, canceled and all that kind of stuff.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jenna.
And I'm Danielle.
I love true crime, and I really hate it. And this is Did Not Need to Know. I know what you're thinking. Another true crime podcast? Really? But we have a twist. Danielle doesn't know anything about true crime, so every week I get to tell my sister stories that she did not need to know.
And we also have a bonus episode every week where we talk about pop culture. So give us a listen anywhere you find your podcasts.
We are also on social media at Did Not Need to Know.
Bye.
Hello, everyone. This is Robin Warder, host of the true crime podcast, The Trail Went Cold. If you grew up watching the classic television show Unsolved Mysteries, then this is the podcast for you. Each week, I profile a new unsolved murder or missing persons case and share all the baffling details. Afterward, I provide my own personal analysis and theories about what might have happened. This is a show for true crime buffs who are fascinated by cold cases and love to discuss them and pick them apart in an attempt to figure out the truth. So be sure to check out our podcast to learn about some truly bizarre unsolved mysteries where the trail went cold.
After you got the restraining order and she was consistently violating it, what was the next big incident that happened?
Well, I kind of let this happen for years because a lot of the time she would just remain consistent, but kind of not negative. So yeah, I'd get some crap in the mail and throw it away and she'd be at the shows, but I just got so used to just ignoring this person and trying my best to just hide in the back room at my shows and take my friends back there with me. And she'd sit up in the front and do her thing and, you know, probably try to talk to people that she knew I knew. Another thing was I didn't want her to see who I was talking to because anyone who she'd see me talk to, she'd try to, you know, befriend them and then start harassing them in some way. So that's another reason I kind of hid. But after so long of her doing this and then her, she started doing this other thing where she'd contact blogs and then have them contact my band. So they would write to us and say, "Hey, this stalker person said that we should reach out to you. She says you're friends." And when that happens, it puts you in a weird spot because you don't want to be rude to the people on the blog because they don't know what's going on. But also when you say yes, like, "Sure, we'll let you interview us," you're basically legitimizing that this stalker is your friend. So that's a weird spot to be in. And she did that several times. And at some point, and it wasn't even my doing, a few other people that had to do with one of the shows we were playing said, "We don't want her at our show. We don't want her at this venue." And they put her on a block list. And she got to the door. She had a pre-sale ticket. She got there and the person at the door handed her money back and said, "You're not allowed to be at the show. Sorry." Within an hour, she emailed me, my band, and the venue a fake letter from a lawyer that said that the stalker, blah, 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 basically wants to have meditation with you and hang out with you to talk this over. And if you don't comply within 1 month, they're going to go take you to court for slandering them. So that, I think, was in September. And since then, there's been so much. I mean, she was doing stuff like writing to me every single day saying, "This is day one of me trying to have a peaceful resolution with you. Hi, good morning. This is day two of me wanting to have a peaceful resolution, have a great time. Let's hang out. Hi, how are you, Jerry? This is day three of me trying to have a peaceful resolution, and maybe we'll meet up today. I'm riding my bike at the park near your house. Hi, this is day four. Why don't we get together?" And this went on for a whole month, up until New Year's. And then she started saying, "If you don't talk to me, I am going to tell everybody a bunch of slander and pay you back for what you said about me," and getting me blocked from the show. And I just continue to ignore it, knowing that she's eventually going to say something. I didn't know what. I mean, I figured she'd go crazy and say, like, I killed her family or something. But I honestly didn't even really read what she wrote. But a few friends of mine saw it, and they said on January 1st that she came out with a post that said that I was in a relationship with her all this time, and I've been hiding it and abusing her. And she called out a bunch of friends of mine who also were blocking her, she called out a bunch of other friends of mine who were also blocking her, or people who got her, you know, kicked out of this venue. And the funny thing is nobody really cared. She said all this negative stuff, and I don't think one person really believed it. Nobody contacted me about it and said, "Oh my God, I didn't know you did all that. How dare you?" Anyone who saw it said, "Oh my God, that's so funny that crazy stalker girl is posting all this stuff. It makes her look even dumber. And now you have even more evidence for if you ever want to take her to court and get her locked up or whatever I have to do." So it was kind of a good thing for me that she did that, because now that she's done that and kind of made up some crazy story, she can't go back and make up another crazy story. And her story was so unbelievable. And she mentioned people in it that she didn't even know. she said that those people knew people they didn't even know. It was kind of one of those make-believe stories, like in the letters.
When she creates this narrative, is she consistent with it based on the communication that she sends you?
No, definitely not consistent. Like one day, you know, I'm her best friend, and then the next day I'm this horrible person who's been slandering her. And there's no rhyme or reason for any of her behavior. And that's really why I've blocked her. And a lot of people that I've, you know, told about this or who found out about it along the line, they think it's funny. They're like, oh, you have a groupie. Ha ha. Why don't you just tell her to leave you alone? And you can't. This is not a person who you could have a rational conversation with. I mean, she comes across at first like just kind of a innocent person. And maybe in some ways, all of this is coming from an innocence, just her really, really wanting to be a part of something. And maybe she has a history of being ignored. But, you know, I was nice enough at first. And I'm pretty nice to anybody who is, you know, just a decent person. And she quickly showed me that she's not that. So I had nothing else to do but stay far away. And I'm going to always do that. And I even think if I took this person to court, they'd like it. I think they'd love the attention, like being in a room, and they would somehow manipulate the situation to the few friends they have to be a victim in the situation of being wrongfully accused of stalking.
Where does your case with your stalker stand today?
Well, as of a week and a half ago, they did that whole, you know, post about all that slander stuff about me and my friends. And since then, I haven't even checked if I got more texts. I know they found my work number. So a lot of stuff that they've been texting was on a completely different number. So far they found Instagram, Facebook, numerous Instagram accounts, my work number, my email, my address. There's no hiding from this person. So as it stands for me, I'm just going to ignore them.
How has this affected your career path and your performing?
It's made it really hard to be a part of the community where, you know, I used to go out a lot more, and now this stalker has so much time on their hands. They're everywhere. Everywhere I go, somehow they know where I'm going to be because they started following all my friends. And who knows, there might even be friends of mine who they talk to that I don't even know about. I mean, I know a lot of people from different walks of life and different bands and stuff. So they're hip to what I'm doing. And it's just made it very hard for me to navigate my career in the same way. But at the same time, I'm still doing fine. And maybe it's pushed me to just do things in a bigger way and not just, you know, constantly be focusing on the social aspect of things.
What advice do you have for somebody else that's in this situation with a stalker?
You got to remember that you owe nobody your time, and that if someone is obsessing over you and will not leave you alone, your life is too short to cater to them constantly. And after you say one time, you have to leave me alone, that's it. There's no excuse for you to ever have to write to them again. If they're going to try to blackmail you into it or get your attention by harassing everybody around you, and your friends might tell you, yo, you got to talk to them. Why don't you just talk to them about it? You don't have to. You know, this person is literally nothing to me, and I will never give them my time of day.
How does it feel to come forward and share your story with us today?
It feels good. It's very liberating. And it feels very completionist to have everything into one format. So if anyone ever asked me about this, I could be like, hey, check out this podcast. It's everything you need to know, because I'm so tired of talking about it. I've had to tell this story to so many people who've engaged in this subject with me. And I'd love for this to help other people who have dealt with this, especially someone has erotomania, or especially if someone is dealing with someone with erotomania. It is the scariest type of personality to be around. they make absolutely no sense.
What do you hope the outcome of this situation will be?
I hope, as far as the stalker, that this person just goes away. I don't want to be one of these people who has empathy for someone like this. At first I did, but at this point I've been harassed so long that I don't care what happens to them as long as it has nothing to do with me. And I don't want them to hurt anyone else, obviously. Like, I don't want them to go stalk somebody else instead of me. As much as that would be very relieving, I just want them to go away and find something to focus on that's healthy.
Jerry, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Jake and Jamie.
Thank you so much. If anyone out there is in need of help or is a victim of stalking, please reach out. You can find a list of resources on our Instagram at Strictly Stalking Pod.
If you'd like to share your story with us on Strictly Stalking, you can reach us at strictlystalkingpod@gmail.com. That's strictlystalkingpod@gmail.com.
As a listener of Strictly Stalking, please leave a review and rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen.
I'm Jake Deptula.
And I'm Jamie Beebe. Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Strictly Stalking.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry-directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.
You know that's the sound of another sale on your online Shopify store. But did you know Shopify powers selling in person, too? That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in-line and online. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/truecrime.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. So find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.